Hello, it's the Ghost. Welcome to They Call Me the Ghost. If you like the strange and unusual happening in our world told to you in story form, you're in the right place. And if you're new to this channel, please know we have a sister channel. And so we have A Stranger World Than Fiction and They Call Me the Ghost. And we also have our podcasts. Like, subscribe, and join the conversation for all things strange. Stranger World Than Fiction and They Call Me the Ghost. All right, let's get to the story. Sometimes there's a place that people have different opinions about. And with this place I'm going to talk about, some people think it has some of the most paranormal activity than anywhere else, while others think everything about it is just a big joke or hoax. The difference with what's going on with the place I'm going to talk about is that even though there's a ton of skepticism, there was also a lot of scientific involvement in studies. I mean, doctors with PhDs, top scientists that got together in an area where people were claiming this activity was taking place. And so many of you have heard of this place. I'm talking about Skinwalker Ranch. There have been a lot of stories out there about this ranch in Utah. Whatever it is you believe, take a listen to this. As the story goes, this ranch was bought by a billionaire who turned around and brought in a ton of scientists and doctors to check out exactly what was going on in the area. But what was really going on with this ranch, and how did it get to where it is today? So let's go back a little bit to the 18 to 1900s, where this 500-acre piece of land had been apparently cursed. So the Indian tribes were much more involved in all things back then. And the Navajos and the Utes were actually at odds with each other. And the Utes were selling other Native Americans after they captured them. So it was kind of like they were hunting with a reward, if you can believe that. Basically, they were selling these captured Indians into slavery. And it was the Navajo who were living in this area of the ranch back then until they were forced off by the Utes. So with this type of activity, that's how the curse came about. The Navajo cursed the land so that as the Utes took over, they would forever have bad luck and the curse would hang over them. And it's known to us today as Skinwalker Curse. There's a legend around this whole thing where witches come down into the area and take the form of predatory animals. So there's that, you know, things like wolves and foxes, and that they take over the bodies of those who inhabit the land and then only turn around to terrorize anyone else who ends up on the property. Well, as it is with all things, time moves on and people forget some of the little details. The ranch was actually built on this land, but as the years progressed, owners of the ranch started reporting that they were seeing these predatory animals on their land and that they're doing very strange things. Fast forward now to 1994. Terry Sherman and his wife Gwen buy Skinwalker Ranch. It had been abandoned for a while, so they got it for a steal. And they thought, hey, this is fantastic. They're completely excited. They set up. They want to get their lives moving on the land. And they breed cattle so they can use these 500 acres for what they want to do and let their cattle roam around. In their minds, they had made it and they were living the dream. There were some odd things that they noticed about the house and everything when they got there, but they didn't think too much of it. You know, there were these odd bolts on the windows, you know, that you could lock everything up. And with things like that, they just thought, well, you know, they are in the middle of nowhere. Maybe the previous owners were just a little paranoid, could come with the territory. And they're just so excited about being there that they kind of just brush it all off. Another thing that they noticed, aside from like the bolts and stuff on the house, was that outside there were these very large stakes that had these very large chains on them. Sometimes people do something like this when they're letting their dogs out or something and they don't want them to run off, but they're thinking these would have had to have been some very large dogs to need the chains. Fun to think about, but not really something they wanted to know or say. They don't really talk about it again. They think, well, who knows what they were doing. They chalk it up to the guys that lived there before, just lived there too long. Maybe they got freaked out and had their dogs, you know, on guard or something. Like all the other strange things they find, they pretty much just blow it off. So you have Terry and Gwen and other family members come in to help them, you know, unpack and move in. This house sits on the middle of the property, so the land is all around them. And while going about their business, one of the family members sees a wolf of sorts. And it's on the edge of the trees in a distance. And they notice it. It's wildlife. They think to themselves, well, that's what's out there, wildlife. We live among them all the time. These guys are used to being outside, farmers and rugged. So they take notice of it, but they don't really pay attention to it. But as this wolf moves inwards towards where the people are, Terry starts to take notice. He lets the others know that this wolf is heading towards where they are. And of course, that gets everyone's attention. So they all gather around and they're kind of watching this wolf as he heads toward them. Now, Gwen notices something that the others didn't at first. There's a break in the fence where the wolf is coming through, and it seems like it's not possible, but the wolf actually looks as big as the fence, and the fence is 6 feet tall. So, of course, this can't be possible. She nudges over to Terry, who sees it too, but they're just staring at it. This wolf can't be that big, and it's very casual. It's calmly walking its way over to their direction. First, they're kind of scared, but because it is moving the way it is, and it's so different, they're kind of just curious. This wolf gets all the way over to where they are, walks up to Gwen's father, who's busy unpacking some other things. He kind of had interest in the wolf and then kept going. The wolf walks up to him and is so calm and almost domesticated-like that the dad actually starts petting it like a dog. And all is good until this wolf goes for one of the livestock, and it couldn't quite get it, which gives Terry and his family just enough time to snap out of it. Terry actually starts firing at this large wolf, thinking, well, I can at least take it down with this, but that doesn't happen. The wolf actually just seems unaffected. But this is a tough bunch, and even though the shots weren't doing anything, they do have other things. One of those other things being an axe, so they start to attack the wolf with that. After moving on to a cow, because the wolf's just doing its own thing, it does start to retreat after the axe, and then eventually it runs off back into the woods. Well, this isn't good enough for the family, and they're certain this wolf will come back, so they decide to hunt it down. They're going to be proactive. They follow it into the woods where they saw it run off, into this muddy and murky area. They really want to get this thing. It's 3 times the normal size, and they're thinking, they're just moving in here. You know, they want to protect their cattle and get this thing right away. The guys focus on that and try to get this thing. And the women, they stay back thinking about things. They know that things are very strange with all of this and they didn't feel very good. You know, their instincts were telling them something. Something they didn't really want to ignore. They never do end up getting the wolf. The guys come back empty-handed saying it's like the wolf just disappeared. And instead of trudging through all that mud, they didn't see any tracks. They didn't see anything. They really felt like they had no choice but to just walk away. Well, eventually, there's a few more things over time that make Gwen start to question her own mental state. Okay, there were a couple examples I can give you. One, when she went to the grocery store, she comes back, she puts all her groceries away, and then she goes on to do other things. But when she goes back to the kitchen, all of her kitchen bags are all packed up again. There's nothing put away. She sits there for like 20 minutes trying to figure out, I really did put these groceries away, right? She's thinking, am I just losing it out here on the farm? She knows she put them away. So she decides, all right, well, I thought I put them away. Maybe I didn't. I must have a lot on my mind. She puts them away again and goes to take a shower. She has her towel ready for her. She goes in. She takes this nice, long, relaxing shower. She goes to get out. The towel isn't there. So now she's thinking, twice in one day, I really must be losing my mind. She was having some thoughts like this, you know, thinking the place, it's the place itself that's messing with her. Maybe I really don't belong here is what she's thinking. But she was still into the idea that maybe she was declining mentally. You know, maybe it wasn't the place. So you can see how this can start to make you a little bit nuts. And she felt kind of alone with this until Terry started noticing things of his own. For instance, he was working on the fence where it was broken when the wolf came through, and there were other areas that needed to be fixed. And he had his wood for his stakes and his hole digger, and he had done a ton of work digging the holes and wanted to take a break and then start up again, putting the post back actually in. Well, when he's done with his break, he goes back to put his stakes in, but the hole digger's gone. So he's looking around now thinking, did I set it somewhere? How long was my break? You know, what did I forget? He never finds it. He goes back to the family to see if they saw anything or maybe one of them took it and he didn't know. nobody has any answers. After a week goes by, they find the hole digger. It's just in a tree. So at this point, Gwen is now sharing with Terry her strange experiences, also thinking that maybe she was just forgetful or something's going on. And that's when they sort of get the idea together that, hey, we're very isolated. But this area, too, it seems to be very strange. And now they're living there, but they just have this funny feeling following them all around. And to add to their frustration, they keep seeing people driving around, and they're thinking, you know, this is on their property, and they're thinking that people are there hunting illegally. Well, Terry's already kind of pushed to the limit at this point. He's very agitated, so this only makes him more angry. And he decides that he's going to do something about it. So the next time he sees lights, believing it's one of those hunters illegally on his property, he decides he's going to go out after them. So he's heading for this truck that he sees. As he gets closer, he's realizing the truck isn't actually making any sound. It's not like trucks, you know, purr, but he doesn't hear anything. So how can this guy be driving around making no sound? Well, Terry is confused, but he keeps going anyway, although he's getting more tense. The closer he gets, he starts to notice the lights are retreating. This truck is backing up, but it's doing it without making any sound. Well, then to his amazement, he figures out that it's not a truck at all. These lights have a life of their own. They are backing away, but they're just lights, and they actually rise up into the sky. Well, this completely weirds Terry out, of course, but he has no explanation. Winter rolls around, and more strange things are happening. Terry takes his cattle head count regularly, right? And there's a point where he can't find one of them. Trying to track it down, you know, looking at footprints and different things, he's led right back into those woods and ends up right back at that muddy spot where he was chasing that wolf. He gets there, though, and it's the end of the tracks. Just like the wolf, this cow seems to have just up and disappeared. This would happen four more times that winter, giving Terry some serious paranoia. And the family, everyone was starting to get paranoid. Well, Terry ends up starting to do a few odd things. He starts sitting out at night on his porch looking for intruders. While the family would sleep, he would just sit there with his shotgun ready for anything that was going to attack or invade. He would go out and wander around searching for anything and everything that might be strange and odd in the night lurking around. He does end up seeing the shadow figure, and he's on high alert. His adrenaline's pumping. He crouches down behind some bushes. He's ready. He watches the figure as it moves, and then he sees it shining some lights, lights of all different colors, shining them on the ground as if he's scanning for something. I don't know about you, but that kind of reminds me of that movie Predator, where the guy had his laser. He was looking around at everything. Anyway, while Terry is watching this shadow figure, and he's moving around, getting a better view, but when he does, he hits some twigs, right? He's moving around. He's trying to see this thing in the best way he can, and he snaps a twig. Well, it makes a little bit of a sound. He thinks it's pretty quiet, but the minute he snaps that twig, all the colored lights go out. He's wondering, did this thing hear me from way over there? He looks up, squinting to see if he can find anything at all. What he does see are two eyes just staring directly back at him. No lights, no other sounds. Terry freezes. He's looking out there at this unknown figure thinking, what is this? And is this thing going to come and try to get me right now? He feels like his life is over, like maybe it's going to end any second. Well, that night doesn't really expand into anything more, which is a good thing, maybe a bad thing if he was trying to figure something out. But although the night went quiet, the odd things overall did not stop. Cattle goes missing. Then it shows back up again. The family keeps seeing these shadow figures. And, you know, over time, now that they know what they're looking for and they're sort of getting familiar with the shadow figures, they feel like they're able to look at it a little bit closer. And they start describing it as humanoid-like. And these things, these odd things, just go on, folks. It gets stranger and stranger. The locks and deadbolts on the windows are now actually coming in handy because when these figures start to get up close, I mean, they're tapping on windows and things. This family's glad those bolts are there. Gwen, turns out, she just can't sleep at all anymore. She actually loses her job at the bank because she goes to work, she can't stay awake, she's completely distracted. Terry still had to get his work done because he's working on the farm. and the lights that look like eyes. He's seeing them every now and then, but he's getting more used to all of this. You know, he's seeing it all the time. You know, hey, if I don't bother it, maybe it won't bother me. He just has to get his work done. And so in a way, without really having to acknowledge it or confront it, he's sort of just living with what it is, even though it's very strange. It's not happening to anyone else. One night, though, when Terry's sitting on his porch, he's not working or anything. He's just out there observing. He sees a new light. This time, it's kind of an orange orb that's off in the distance. Well, he picks up his rifle and he tries to check it out with his scope. And to him, in his words, he describes it as a type of portal. He believed this oval-shaped hole existed out there as a doorway for these strange creatures to come through onto his property. Looking closer, he would describe this as looking through the small hole, it was light and daylight on the other side, where it was night where he was. So now in his mind, he has something figured out. Okay, these shadow figures that they're seeing are coming from somewhere else during the night and roaming their property. So even as crazy as it sounds, he does feel a little bit better thinking that he figured something out. Settled with this idea, he's starting to think that he has it all figured out until he sees a new blue orb. So picture this, you have a portal where these shadow figures are coming through and causing a ruckus on this property. They're coming up to your windows and they're tapping on them and they're just bothering you, taunting you. These humanoid-like figures are intimidating and a constant. Then this blue orb comes around, and whenever it comes in close, the whole family feels this overwhelming sense of anxiety. And this anxiety disappears whenever this orb goes away. Okay, well, one night, Terry's sitting out there ready for anything when he sees this blue orb. The dogs, of course, are starting to bark, and being the guard dogs that they are, and this thing is so unfamiliar, they're going crazy. And instead of leaving the dogs tied up on the porch this time, Terry decides to let them go free and do with it what they will. Good idea and bad idea, as you can imagine. The dogs go out there running and barking as they do. Terry actually thinks it's doing some good because he can see this orb is retreating. So he and the dogs are winning, he thinks. Another win for Terry. When the orb disappears into the woods, Terry's now convinced that he has won and he feels good about himself. Satisfied, he's ready to go inside and call it a day. There's one problem, though. The dogs don't follow. They are nowhere to be found. He waits and he waits, but then he decides that he just has to go in, everything's fine, and when he wakes up in the morning, the dogs will be there. But as he's going in, he hears these terrifying yelps. He's trying to look at the positive side of things, thinking, well, the dogs are up for a battle, but of course they're going to win. It's a ball of light. He goes inside anyway. But when he wakes up in the morning, the dogs are still nowhere to be found. So of course he goes off to try to track them down. All he finds are three piles of ashes. These are ashes of his three dogs, as if they just up and vaporized in place in the middle of the night. No explanation. And this is about enough for Terry and his family, and it's time for them to go. They want to sell it, and they want to get out of there. And they do end up selling it to a billionaire, Robert Bigelow, who ends up investing millions of dollars in scientists and doctors for the point of research. He wants them to do a full study of this property. I mean, Terry told this guy everything that was going on and why he was selling it. He thought it only fair that the next owner should know exactly what's going on before they get there. But this was an interest for Robert Bigelow. He really liked focusing on the paranormal. He was very into it. So this was perfect for him. He decides to make this ranch a headquarters for his own scientific research. He wants to investigate Skinwalker Ranch, but he also wants this place to be a hub for other scientific research. He himself would actually not spend a lot of time there, but his research team would. And surprisingly, so would Terry. Terry ended up getting hired as a ranch hand. He needed the work, and he would take this job. It would keep him working. And he also was thinking in the back of his mind, maybe I'll actually get some answers. I mean, we have millions of dollars getting put into this. Scientists and doctors, and with all that going on, I mean, how much creepy stuff could really continue if they're here to get it all? These professional researchers would figure out what it was. Everyone would get some answers and everything would stop. Well, it didn't exactly go that way. First of all, I want to mention that Bigelow, although he's very into the paranormal, you might think he would get other enthusiasts with him to work. But what he really found were scientists and doctors that were very skeptical of all this type of stuff. People that would want to find out and prove that none of it was true. And what a better way to prove that it was. This team works diligently, first checking out the family's psychological condition, right? Each and every person. Then they were checking out the property. Were there any weird plants or soil issues? Something else going on? Over time, they would start to disprove theories like that the water caused hallucinations. Well, that didn't prove to be true. Or that there were other plant problems or problems with the land. All their research really did was keep leading them in the direction that there was something very odd going on that ranch. And the odd things continued, even with them there. For instance, Terry was on the ranch tagging new calves, and his wife Gwen was actually there with him helping. They start with one, move on to the others. In about 40 minutes, after they'd been there about 40 minutes doing that, they notice that one of their dogs, new dogs, is standing there growling. This dog is pretty specific and standing almost as if he's pointing out a situation, and so they go to check it out, right? Turns out the first calf that they tagged, literally only 40 minutes prior, was now very intricately and perfectly dissected. Very odd indeed, but these guys are becoming a little more immune to the first shock of these strange things that are going on the ranch. And so they calmly go report this to the scientists and the doctors, to the research team. This amazing team that's working on the ranch, and of course, they're all interested, and so they head out immediately to check it out, finding this perfectly cut-up calf. They have no explanation. There isn't even blood anywhere. There are no signs that anyone else was even there with Terry and Gwen. But someone had to be. So they decide to break out the team's guard dogs. Now, the research team had these very large guard dogs, and they had them in kennels throughout the property. Well, they try to break them out to get them to go out and check everything out, but the dogs don't even want to leave the kennels. They're hiding. They're backing up into them, and it's almost as if they're all staring in the same direction. It looks like they can all see something that no one else can see. A figure was spotted by the people, but when the research team heads out to find out what's going on, they don't find anything. Except for, I will say, they don't find any being, but they do find footprints, and whatever was there left behind this horrible smell. It was an unknown creature they still couldn't find. And the dogs? Well, those big guard dogs wanted nothing to do with it the whole entire time. Even with their kennels open, they just left them open and they didn't come out at all. They never found the big wolf humanoid either. How on earth could a creature of this size and so unusual get away so easily? They were all just baffled. They couldn't get any concrete answers that day. And the strange happenings only continued. There were cattle running off, cattle disappearing, cattle coming back, cattle that was on the land. And then suddenly, they would find a few locked up, right? So they had some bulls that were out on the land. They seemed to disappear. And they find them in one of their animal transportation cargo trucks, trailer things. And how did they get in there? They were all locked. They always keep them locked all of the time so that this doesn't happen. No one else did it. They couldn't find anyone that did. So what had happened there? Again, they have no answers. They do find that the gate that was holding these bulls that had escaped was magnetized. They weren't really sure why, but they thought maybe there was some magnetism going on the property that was causing odd behavior and odd things. So they decide to go ahead and look for that. So the scientists are out trying to find some answers, and they head out away from the corrals and the trailers to investigate this magnetic phenomenon on other places on the property. And while they're out, they start to notice some more weird things, and they still have that strange smell. But other than that, they don't come up with anything concrete. It's not until the end of 1997 that things are taken to another level. It became common for researchers to set themselves up on this higher ridge on the property at night because they wanted people posted there to see if there really was any strange activity during the night hours. Well, one particular night, these researchers are up there doing their thing, and they notice this strange orange orb. The researchers have these awesome infrared goggles with them for their night watch, so they break those out to check out this orb, only to find out that it is an oval shape, and it looks to be what Terry described. It's a small portal. They find it and they become obsessed with it. They're just staring at it. And eventually they do see a creature crawling out of this hole. It comes through and falls straight to the ground. Then getting up, it runs fast towards them where they are. It's like it came through just to get them. The researchers are staring at it but don't know what to do. It's one of those moments where they're so scared and overwhelmed they can't even move. And then the smell comes back. It's a terrible smell, like rotting metal. They can hear the sounds of this creature's feet hitting the ground hard as it runs towards them. And it's all they hear, and they're taking in the smell, and all they're doing is staring at it in fear. These guys literally could not move at all. Even with everything happening around them, it's as if they knew that even if they took off running, this thing was going to catch them. They were frozen, frozen in fear. This creature gets up to them, but to their surprise, it doesn't run into them, gobble them up, or whatever their imaginations were telling them it was going to do. The creature really just runs right by them and continues up the mountainside that's in the back of them. As soon as that happens, the smell goes away and everything goes quiet. The activity on Skinwalker Ranch really died down after this episode. The research team stayed there for a while, but in 2004, even they had reached their limit. They couldn't find anything new, any new activity around the property. Everything had slowed down. And although they had done a lot of research, they did not have a ton to show for themselves. They had videos of these little lights, but of course, then the lights would just disappear. They didn't capture any of the humanoid wolves. They couldn't capture the smells, so what could they really do? What could they really say about it all? They were witness to the calves and the surgical procedures that appeared to be done on them, but that's no different than what we've heard happens on different farms. Same type of activity we hear about in other places without any real evidence to prove anything. Bigelow, the billionaire, he went in with all kinds of enthusiasm when he brought this property, but at this point, even he was frustrated. He wanted something more. He wanted definitive proof. The team and Bigelow felt overall that they were dealing with something real, something that they couldn't explain, but that this was something that was one step ahead of them. That's why they could never get it. They never could catch up to it or get close enough to it long enough to figure out what anything was and what was going on. Personal glimpses of something really don't do much to forward research. Maybe if we had the technology that we had today back then, with cell phones and instant pictures and videos and things like that, there would be more that we could know today. But all they really had at their disposal was the camera. And so getting pictures of animals that had surgically been invaded was really all they could get, and that doesn't prove who or what was involved at all. Hence the mystery of Skinwalker Ranch, guys. The research team that did the work there, they have put out some books and things on their research, and it's well known that they believe that this was all from real paranormal disturbances. They just can't prove it. Like I said in the beginning, a lot of you have heard about Skinwalker Ranch and have shown a great interest in it. Do you think Skinwalker Ranch has real paranormal or other strange activity? Do you think the whole thing is just a big hoax coming from some owners of a ranch and a billionaire with too much time on his hands? Let me know your thoughts and like and subscribe, and thank you for listening today. And until next time, I will talk to you all soon.